Yeah, look at this, man. Why you shouldn't be watching the Epstein Files, bro. Too much.
Everybody is talking about the Epstein Files, but nobody is talking about the neuroscientific effect on the population and why this is being done. For months, nothing was coming out about these files until 3 million pages of horrific atrocities were released to us all at once. This is the perfect recipe for mass vicarious trauma. Our amygdalas, the fear center in our brains, are hyperactivated, causing outrage, disgust, and hypervigilance. And at the same time, the prefrontal cortex, the thinking rational part of your brain, is downregulated. And this is happening across millions of people at the exact same time. And so, as a result, social media is flooded with content about this. I guarantee you, it's all you're seeing on your For You page. And this leads to desensitization and mass compassion fatigue. Compassion fatigue is empathetic burnout. It is well studied in the medical field and in first responders. And it is when your amygdala physically cannot fire anymore. And so the outrage, the disgust, it's replaced by a numb helplessness. And so these files have been systematically released in such a way as to mimic trauma neuroscience, leaving the entire population feeling helpless and numb. So listen, I have known about this information for years before this was released. I know how these people think. I know what they are trying to do. They want your outrage. They want you to feel helpless. They want you to feel numb. They are trying to rob you of your human empathy. And so the way to beat them is to set your heart ablaze. Kindle the fire within, not to burn down the world, but to bring light into the darkness.
Everyone is tired. You wake up, and before your feet even hit the floor, there is a weight on your chest that wasn't there 10 years ago. It's a collective exhaustion that transcends whether you live in a rural town or a high-rise city. More often than not, people are upset with the trajectory of life, and the common ground we all share is a simmering, quiet desperation. We are told we are divided by impossible oceans of ideology, but the truth is simpler. We are all being squeezed by the same hand, and we are all being fed the same low-grade psychological poison designed to keep us from looking at the person standing next to us. Nobody feels like going to work anymore. The motivation is gone because the reward has been replaced by a treadmill of financial terrorism. A 2005 study in American politics research by Uslaner and Brown, cited over 1,400 times, confirmed that economic inequality directly reduces civic participation. The harder you are squeezed, the less likely you are to push back. You feel it in the grocery store, you feel it when you pay your bills, and you feel it when you look at your children and wonder what kind of world is being built for them. We are told to pick a side, left or right, to find the solution. But all we find is more exhaustion. Do you think it's an accident that all sides are more alike in their misery than they'd like to admit? Pew Research Center data from September 2024 showed that both Trump and Harris supporters ranked the economy as their number one voting issue. If we focused on what we actually have in common, like the fact that the people we leave in charge don't have a clue what they are doing, or worse, that they know exactly what they're doing, the game would be over tomorrow. We all agree on the basics. We want low taxes, we want a higher minimum wage, and we want to be left alone to raise our families in peace. These shouldn't even be points of debate. They should be the baseline of a functional society. But instead of focusing on those physical realities, we are being funneled into a digital arena designed to keep us in fight or flight. Look at the screen you're holding right now. Most people don't realize that the light hitting their eyes is engineered to keep their brain in a predator-prey cycle. We are being bombarded by frequencies and visual signals that prevent our pupils from dilating and our minds from resting. This isn't a theory. It's biology. A 2001 study in the Journal of Neuroscience, cited over 1,400 times, proved that the blue light wavelengths from your screen are maximally effective at suppressing melatonin and disrupting the human circadian system. A 2014 Harvard study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, cited over 1,200 times, confirmed that screen use delays your circadian rhythm and impairs next-day cognitive function. When you are kept in a state of permanent adrenal fatigue, you lose your intuition. You lose the ability to see a neighbor as a human being and start seeing them as a threat. This is the first layer of the prison, a cage made of light and frequency that keeps the heart rate high and the intellect low. They've taken the world's most talented psychiatrists and psychologists and used them to build a system that turns our own bodies against us. Think about the words that make your blood boil instantly. If someone says, abortion is murder, one side feels a righteous fire and the other feels a cold, defensive rage. If someone says a person is Trump drunk, the reactions flip. But the physiological result is identical. Your heart rate spikes, your breathing narrows, and your brain effectively shuts off its ability to process new information. This is a kill switch. A 2016 brain imaging study and scientific reports cited over 200 times proved that challenges to political beliefs activate the amygdala, the exact same brain region that fires when you face a physical threat. It's an implanted response designed to stop you from hearing the next sentence. They use these terms to anchor your identity to a side, making you a predictable asset in a game you didn't sign up for. They've turned our deepest moral convictions into a series of buttons they can press whenever they need to distract us. While we are busy being offended or being right, the administrative machine is quietly filing the paperwork to own the very air we breathe. They have created a system of procedural secrecy where they can hide the most heinous crimes behind redactions and national security claims. The Classified Information Procedures Act, 18 U.S.C. Appendix 3, a real federal statute from 1980, explicitly authorizes the government to delete classified information from court documents and substitute summaries the public never sees. Executive Order 13,526, Section 1.4, allows redaction of anything touching intelligence sources or methods. If someone was even tangentially part of an intelligence operation, the system is legally required to protect the method by redacting the person. All while telling us that the person with the blue hair or the red hat is the real enemy. Imagine we are all in a physical prison right now. There are two groups in the yard, and the guards have spent decades telling Group A that Group B is the reason they don't have enough food. Meanwhile, the guards are the ones locking the gates and skimming the rations. If Group A and Group B ever stopped shouting long enough to look at the hinges on the gate, they'd realize the lock is actually flimsy. In post-war Europe, intelligence agencies funded both far-left and far-right extremist groups under Operation Gladio, confirmed by Italian Prime Minister Andreotti in 1990 and condemned by the European Parliament that same year. The goal was a strategy of tension, make the public so terrified of the other side that they beg for more security. But as long as you are triggered by a headline, you will never look at the hinges. You will stay in the yard fighting over scraps while the next layer of the prison is being built around you. We have to stop reacting and start auditing. The law isn't as complicated as they want you to think. The constitution of your own life doesn't require a politician's permission. It requires you to put down the weapon of your phone, step out of the adrenal loop, and realize that the person you've been told to hate is actually your only ally against a system that views both of you as nothing more than biological data to be managed. A 2015 study in political psychology by Iyengar and Westwood, cited over 800 times, proved that partisan polarization is driven by emotional triggers, not actual policy disagreements. We are stronger together, not because we agree on everything, but because we share a common humanity that is currently under a coordinated technical assault. The way out isn't through a ballot box. It's through the realization that the labels are the cage. We need to watch the enforcers, not each other. We need to have each other's back because resistance is futile if we're fighting the front line instead of the people who sent them there. Step one is regaining your sanity. Step one is realizing that your anger has been weaponized by people who don't care about your soul. When you stop being a side and start being a person, the prison walls start to look a lot more like paper. This is about survival, and survival requires a clear head and a united front. It's time to look at the hinges. The vocabulary you use is not your own. You were born into a language that was already a trap, a system of sounds and symbols designed to funnel your thoughts into pre-built categories before you even realize you're thinking. We talk about the law and the government and our rights, but we never stop to look at the roots of the words. If you want to find the exit to the prison, you have to look at the etymology of the bars. Take the word government. It comes from the Latin gubernare, meaning to control, and mens, meaning mind. The Saperhoff hypothesis, a foundational theory in linguistics, established that language shapes and constrains thought itself. When you ask the government to solve a problem, you are asking a system designed for mind control to manage your reality. Or look at the word person. In legal terms, a person is a persona, a mask worn by an actor. When you identify as a taxpayer, a citizen, or a leftist, you are putting on a mask that the administrative state created for you. You are stepping out of your role as a living soul and into a corporate fiction. This is how they do it. They don't use a butcher knife to separate us. They use a scalpel of terminology. They create categories and subcategories: liberal, conservative, cis, trans, vaccinated, unvaccinated, and they wait for you to choose one. Michel Foucault documented this in Discipline and Punish, cited over 52,000 times. Institutions use classification and categorization to manage populations. The moment you identify with one of these labels, you have consented to the jurisdiction of the box. You attempt to be an individual by identifying with things that everyone else knows, funneling yourself into a cage without consent. While you are busy surviving the financial terrorism of inflation, they are narrowing the vibration of who you are allowed to be. They do this in every industry. In the medical world, they give you a diagnosis, and that label becomes your identity. In the legal world, they give you a statute, and you think it's a law. But a statute is just a legislated rule of a society that only applies to those who are members of that society. If you study word etymology, you find the liberator. You realize that equity isn't what the news tells you it is. In the real law, equity is about the spirit of justice that overrides the rigid, dry letters of a corrupt contract. Both sides are being trapped by these words. The left believes they are fighting for equality, but they are being used to expand state power over every human interaction. Their hearts are weaponized. They want love, protection, and harmony, but the system solidifies that into a rigid, radicalized point. They are told that to be inclusive, they must exclude anyone who doesn't use the newest vocabulary. It is a linguistic virus. On the right, people seek order and normality. They look to a savior because the chaos is too much to bear. But by putting faith in a figurehead, they hand over their own sovereignty. They are waiting for a politician to constitutionalize the world for them, forgetting that a constitution is simply what constitutes you. It is your own declaration of independence. It can be a single paragraph that declares you are a living being, independent of any corporation or district. They removed this from schools on purpose. They want you to think the law is a complex, daunting mystery that only the experts can decipher. But the truth is, the more they make the law complicated, the more they are hiding the fact that they have no jurisdiction over a living man or woman who hasn't contracted with them. They use the dopamine release of the news cycle, the constant waiting for the next bombshell or the next election, to keep you in a state of digital gambling. B.F. Skinner documented variable ratio reinforcement in 1957, the exact mechanism behind slot machine addiction. And Adam Alter's 2017 book, Irresistible, backed by NYU research, confirmed that technology companies deliberately exploit this same reward circuitry. You are waiting for a win that is never coming because the house owns the deck and the words on the cards. The trap is the vocabulary. When you stop using their labels, you stop being a target. When you stop identifying as a fragment of society and start seeing yourself as a complete, sovereign creation, the interference starts to fade. If you care about the kids, if you care about the future, you have to check yourself. You have to look at the words coming out of your mouth and ask, is this my thought or is this a category I was funneled into? The law is the common ground. When we move past the labels and back to the base of the words, we find that we all want the same thing: to be independent, to be left alone, and to protect the life that God or Source brought into this world. The Way Out isn't a new political party. It's a new vocabulary. They want you to believe that the games played in high-profile cases like Epstein's are failures of the system. They want you to think it's incompetence when videotapes disappear, when documents are released in redacted fragments, and when key witnesses are liquidated before they can speak. The DOJ Inspector General's own 2023 report confirmed the surveillance camera failures and guard misconduct at the Metropolitan Correctional Center on the night Epstein died. But this isn't a breakdown of the machine. It is the machine functioning exactly as it was designed. This is the third layer of the prison, the administrative shield. Inside the government, there is a structure built to implicate its highest assets. It's a failsafe. By involving everyone in the game, they ensure that no one can ever blow the whistle without destroying themselves. They create a limited hangout, a term that entered the public vocabulary during the Watergate tapes, when Nixon and John Dean were caught on tape discussing how to release partial truth to prevent full exposure. They release just enough sensational information to keep you busy on social media, while the real infrastructure stays hidden. A 2012 study on the IKEA effect in the Journal of Consumer Psychology, cited over 1,100 times, proved people overvalue information they feel they discovered themselves, which is exactly why they designed these breadcrumbs for you to find. They use the Classified Information Procedures Act, CIPA, like a magic wand to swap out real evidence for summaries that the public never gets to see. This isn't a conspiracy theory, it is 18 U.S.C. Appendix 3. It is the legal receipt that proves the government is allowed to lie to you in court for the sake of national security. Both sides are being played. The right looks for a savior to release the files, not realizing the files are released to dirty everyone. If everyone is implicated, no one is. The left is told these scandals are just toxic systems, but they shield the very agencies they claim to hate. We need to talk about the finders and the patterns of systemic violation that have been going on for decades. In 2019, the FBI vault released over 300 pages of declassified records on the Finders case, a 1987 U.S. Customs investigation that flagged CIA connections to a group found with malnourished children. The case was transferred and administratively closed. This isn't just about one man on an island. It's about a psychological operation running since MKUltra, a confirmed CIA program documented in the 1977 Senate Select Committee hearings, involving at least 149 sub-projects of psychological manipulation on unwitting subjects. They realized long ago that if you fragment the mind through trauma, you create a population easier to nudge, categorize, and control. This is the root of the mental illness exploding in society, a virus of the soul passed down through generations of systematic abuse allowed by the very agencies that claim to protect us. The mothers on the left care about the children. The fathers on the right care about the children. This is the most powerful common ground we have. But the system has weaponized that care, turning the left's heart into a tool for state-sponsored inclusion that ignores root trauma, and turning the right's morality into reactive anger that makes them look insane to the other side. The enforcers, the federal agents closing in, are just another part of the game. They enforce the very procedural secrecy that hides the real criminals. They are corporate employees in a system of corporate fiction, and their authority only exists as long as you play in their court. We have been conditioned to wait for a bombshell to save us, the next leak, the next PDF, the next dopamine hit. But the system is never going to investigate itself. You cannot find remedy in a jurisdiction built to protect the people who violated you. The victims are real. The trauma is real. The staged deaths and administrative burials of high-value assets are real. The Witness Security Act, 18 U.S.C., Section 3521, gives the Attorney General authority to provide new identity documentation, and the U.S. Marshals have processed over 19,000 identity transformations since 1971. But the most real thing in this world is your ability to see through the peltering, a peer-reviewed deception strategy documented by Rogers and Zeckhauser in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, the use of half-truths to tell a massive lie. We don't need to burn society down. We need to audit it. We need to stop fighting the Marine on the front line and start looking at the guard who locked the door. When the left and the right realize they are being used as flak for the same corporate monster, the federal enforcers will realize they have no one left to enforce.